Welcome to episode 70 of the Livonia and Sarah podcast. Each week we discuss holistic approaches to weight loss and well-being as we work at improving our own health and wellness. We share our stories and what we've learned through research and experience in the hopes we encourage others to improve their health too. We are so happy you're here. Thank you for joining us. I am Livonia.
And I'm Sarah. And today we're talking mindfulness. Many of us tend to focus on things we didn't get done or the things we've got to get done on the never-ending to-do list. How many times a day have you thought, I wish I'd done better, done more, or done something differently? We tend to focus on what is wrong. We focus on other tasks we need to do instead of focusing on the task in hand. So how do we train our brain to see wins and shift our energy towards the positives? Concentrating on the here and now can have a profound positive impact on business, weight loss, and many other aspects of your life. As we're recording back-to-back episodes this week, we've got no challenges to catch up on, so let's dive right into the episode of mindfulness. It's something we've talked about for quite a while, isn't it? And wanting to talk about this as an episode.
Well, yeah, especially because I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
Because mindfulness isn't, you know, about being kind, because that's kind of how it sounds.
I see. Yeah, I know.
It's very scientific, and it uses different parts of your brain. This is what I found interesting. So, you know, being mindful obviously requires mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's mindfulness is being fully present and engaged in the moment, being aware of your thoughts and your feelings without distraction or without judgment. That's judgment on yourself and judgment on others as well.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm not very good.
I got it. I've written down it's a cognitive skill. So it's an actual, actual skill in itself. Sustained attention and being present in the moment. So that's what
being
you're striving
for. Being present in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I am so bad at doing that. And then, you know, I'm doing one task and I'm thinking about the multitude of other things that I have to do. And when you're like that, you're not focused on what you're doing because you can't be.
Mistakes happen.
Focusing uses one part of your brain and thinking about the shit that you need to do uses a totally different part.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also the part when you are doing something and you're thinking about everything else, that uses like the fight or flight part of your brain, which means you're in a constant state of stress.
It's exhausting.
So how can you, it's exhausting, mentally exhausting. So how can you get things done or done properly when you're like that?
That's the thing. I think you can get things done, but can you get them done as well as perhaps they might be? And the answer to that is no, because you're spreading yourself too thin.
And you're under, like I said, a constant state of stress, whether you feel like it or not.
I honestly
my brain, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, when I'm doing something, my brain's like two squirrels chasing each other round and round a tree. And the older I'm getting, the more I'm aware of that,
right?
But I sort of pride myself on being a multitasker, but really it's not good to be like that, because I just need to focus better. And even so yesterday, because, you know, we were doing, you know, this yesterday, I'm thinking, okay, when I was working out, just focus on this. Don't think about all the things that you want to get done after this.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on this. And then, you know, I'd do that and then you'd find your mind drifting off again and then you'd bring it back. So it's something that you're going to have to, you know,
practice,
like train yourself to do it. But it brings your mind and your body into alignment.
Well, I think some examples of the sort of the times, certainly for me, and I know this is probably the same for many people, is when that mind wandering you were just talking about. So I sort of try to think of examples when that happens to me the most. But if you ever have a massage, that's the worst time. Your mind's then trying to run through your shopping list. It's running through you, like you're supposed to be really relaxing and you know, focusing on what's happening to you. removing the stress from the knots and things, and all I'm thinking, right, when I finish, I'm like, no, that's one of the worst times. Driving is a nightmare. How many times have you suddenly
Oh.
gone, how have I got here? Because you've been thinking about things, and all of a sudden you're thinking you're on automatic pilot. So it is dangerous because you're not paying attention. And listening to an audiobook, for example, the number of times you have to rewind it, you're like, no, missed that bit because I wasn't actually listening. My brain was off somewhere else. I'm like, rewind, rewind. So it's a normal thing. It's normal that you're, as in, I don't mean it's correct, but it's quite, it happens to a lot of people
Normal.
that your brain, goes off like that. However, it's not, it's there's a whole ream of reasons why it's not good for you. And it means you're not going to, as you said, not get the best from what you're doing.
I heard Mel Gibson. I heard Mel Robbins say that since she's been practicing mindfulness, so she started doing it the last 4 years ago, and she talks about studies, done on the brain to do with mindfulness. She reckons that her world has changed. Her
Really?
business has just escalated. I mean, you don't think it sounds all soft and fluffy, but it's not. Because apparently there's neuroscientific evidence that showing practicing mindfulness changes the frequency in the brainwave.
Wow.
And as a result, it activates a different part of our brain.
Well, it's
It reduces
focus, isn't it? If you
stress.
think about
It's
that, it's like the
focus.
focus that you get from it. Yeah.
It reduces stress and anxiety by decreasing activity of our, and I'm sorry if I'm not going to say this correctly.
Just go for it.
I was saying it last night. Amygdala, this is the
Right.
major processing part of the brain
Okay.
that is closely associated with fear and emotions and motivation, anger, fear, stress, all those things trigger that amygdala.
Okay.
And that stores our emotions and memories of events like could be traumatic things. So you don't want that on fully alert all the time, because apparently activating it hijacks the release of the stress hormones, such as cortisol, and takes away your body, you just being able to concentrate, you get easily distracted. So you want to free up some mental space where we focus on the present, and that's what mindfulness does, and it has the ability, apparently, to enhance our creativity. So.
Yeah, and the other benefits I read up on was it helps you understand your own emotions. So because you've got some clear space, you can actually tap into your own emotions and thoughts and think, hang on, what is actually going on here? I might be acting angrily, but am I really angry, or am I hurt? Am I disappointed? All of those things. So it gives you some mental space to actually understand a bit more what's going on. It helps you cope better with difficult thoughts. So when you do get difficult thoughts, I think if you've gone through the art and the skill of mindfulness, it then helps you work through those things, helps you feel calmer, like you said, boosts your attention and concentration. So you are then able better to focus on things. Maybe as Mel was then saying, you're able to focus on things better, which maybe your action then becomes better. It improves your relationships as well, I think, because when you can get the craft of being able to pay attention, you can then apply that to the people that you are in front of, whether that's friends, whether it's a partner, whether it's a child. And by paying them better attention, you can let them feel heard and feel valued more. And so I think it has so many knock-on effects, but it all starts with working this for yourself, doesn't it? And yes, there are all benefits that then come from that, but you need to start with this action. And it is a practice, it is something that you have to really, really practice, particularly if you're spending dedicated time doing this. And as you said, all those thoughts that pop into your head, trying to push those out again, when you first start doing it, it's not easy.
No, it's being aware. You have to be aware of it. And it might seem really difficult at first, but it's being aware of your thoughts. And you're going to have to keep doing it until it becomes second nature. And that may take some time. Like I'm working on this right now. Am I actually working on this and giving it my full attention? or am I thinking about the fact that I have to go and cook
What you need
dinner
to do
or
later.
all the other things that you have to do? No.
I think I'm a weird old blend, you know, because there's a huge chunk of my time where I'm doing exactly that. I'm thinking of 100 things and always running through that list and, you know, what I'm doing. I'm okay, I'm doing it okay, but I am always thinking about something else. And then on the other side of that, I'm actually very good at times of being mindful, but not completely still mindful. I don't mean meditating. But when I'm doing my art, for example, that's actually a very therapeutic process and I love it. So I've said before, I set like an hour's, basically an hour playlist. And so then I know that don't stop during that hour, you know, just give yourself that
You're
dedicated
in
time.
that
But when I'm
focused.
painting and drawing, I really can't think about something else because I will make a mistake. And actually, I'm really good in that time. If that's all I'm looking at my reference image and I'm painting and I'm drawing and I'm going backwards and forwards and I'm listening to the music.
Right.
When I'm cycling outside, I use that as almost a meditation practice, actually. And all I forced myself to start doing was looking at my surroundings, looking at the trees, listening to the
Yep.
birds, even the
Being
tire
aware.
sound on the road, because you know it makes that really nice sound as you're sort of going along. So there are periods of time when I'm really good at it, and then there's periods of time when I'm really not. And so I've done quite well, but what I would like to do is actually filter it through the whole of my lifestyle and actually, as you described, try and do better at focusing on one thing at a time, because I think I'll make less mistakes and I will feel far less stressed. Because I do feel stressed a lot of the time because I'm just like, right, next, 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 because I want to get shit done. I want to get shit done. And I'm like,
And you
but
can still get it done.
yeah,
It's
am I
just
get, I was
doing
about
it
to
in a
say,
different
am I getting
way.
it done any quicker by doing it like that? I don't think I
No.
am. I'm all I'm doing is making myself feel stressed about it.
I think that if I start a task and then I think, well, I'll go and start these other four or five tasks, and I'm not, exaggerating, that's what I do. That somehow makes me feel better in an instant that, okay, I'm getting things happening.
Because you feel like you're
But
making
it doesn't
progress.
really, because then I just stress about it. So I'm really going to be working hard at this. I have to dig pretty deep to do this, but it's something I definitely want to be
Do you
aware
think it's
of.
quite linked with gratitude as well?
I don't know. I think I have a bit of ADHD. I think that's part of it. Like an
Oh
adult
yeah, I
version
do.
of it.
I agree with that bit, but I mean, I meant from the
Being like,
mindfulness part. If you
can be
can
just
practice,
grateful for what it is that you're
yeah,
doing.
suddenly you start to slow down a little bit. Suddenly you start to
Just being
enjoy
aware of your breathing.
what you're having, a bit like if you're buttering some toast, you're like, look at the butter melting into the toast. Doesn't that taste like really concentrate on the taste of what you're eating, whether it's a jam or a, you know, a Marmite or something, but really focus on what that is. You're slowing down. You're grateful for that. And then all of a sudden, you are focusing just on that thing that's happening in front of you rather than that. So I think it's a practice that involves a whole remit of things that then suddenly feeds into it. And then, you know, I know that we've been talking about this a lot recently in our conversations, but this slow living thing, it all feeds back into that because the more mindful you can be, the more grateful you can be. The slower you move, you know, it's no coincidence, isn't it, that all of those things suddenly start to
The
then,
less stressful you are.
the better you feel, the more you start enjoying your food, perhaps the less you'll overeat, or the choices of, I wrote that down actually, the some of the choices of food are different when I'm mindful. I like to prepare my own food more, you know, because it's not
Right. It's
ultra
not just
processed
like a
food.
meh.
Being, you know, like microwave or whatever, you're preparing your food, you're enjoying that process of, and that's a very mindful act, don't you think? Preparing food, cooking your own meal, bread making, you know, that's really, really mindful. You definitely switch off when you're doing that. So I think if we're talking about the whole lifestyle that which we're striving to improve, which is what we talk about every single week, one of the main foundations to that is mindfulness because of everything that feeds into it and the benefits that it's going to give you. It will then give you some dedicated time that you maybe then go to choose to exercise. It'll give you some space not to feel so stressed, which is going to help lower your blood pressure. You know, it's such a lot of knock-on effects. But I think it's something that we've all got to work on. It's not something that you automatically can do.
Yes, ways that, and I know I definitely have to. So I'm have printed these this out and cut this
Right.
out. These ways to
Oh,
be more
good.
mindful.
Yeah,
Yes,
I like that.
be aware of your thoughts, and it's a constant thing. You know, you find your drift, and then you know you have to
Bring
pull
yourself
yourself
back.
back.
Bring it back.
So initially, it's like I said, it's going to be hard work. Focus on the task at hand, not about the next thing you want to get done. So bad at that. Don't be judgmental of yourself or others, because then I get to the end of the day, like Sarah said in the intro, and you beat yourself up for all the shit that you didn't do rather than look at the wins. So that's another thing, is trying to have every day three wins. It's like almost like that gratitude thing.
Yeah, we do that
Not
for,
what
didn't
are
we?
things I didn't get done? What are three things that I actually did today that I'm either grateful for or that I, you know, consider wins? Big or small, right? Taking care of your body through exercise and diet, because unhealthy habits can have a detrimental effect on your brain function, because this all comes down to your brain, right? Breathing, breathing, because I reckon sometimes I might just hold my breath. You know, when you're stressed out, you're just in that fight or flight
I
situation.
think I
So
do the reverse. I do really
breathing.
shallow breathing. You know, that's even
Yeah,
that's just as bad, isn't it? You're
right.
like really not getting that really good
Right.
quality breath in.
Deep, slow breaths. Savoring, you know, like you were talking about, whether you're making a breakfast, making a cup of coffee just to sit and enjoy it, even if it's just for a few minutes, but be in that moment. It does sound so fluffy, but it's not. And then, you know, if you're not, you have to keep pulling yourself into the moment, don't you?
Yeah,
It's
absolutely.
just going to
One
be.
thing I would recommend if you can is get outside as well. Get outside even just for 5 minutes and listen, because try and zone out the traffic noise, which I have to do sometimes.
I was just going to
But
say, just, you know, unless you're in downtown New York
yeah,
and all
you
you can
know.
hear is like taxi horns.
But even what you can hear suddenly makes you realize that it's not just you in isolation and just, you know, floating around. You are part of something, and try and find something which is perhaps a little bit more relaxful. But I think getting outside is a big thing as well, because that really helps with mindfulness. It helps clear the mind if you go for a walk, all of that sort of thing. It's a good opportunity to spend a few minutes getting a bit calmer.
So I'm going to goat yoga this weekend,
I can't wait
and
to
I
hear
that
about
was how everybody heard it, goat yoga.
it.
So it's
Goat
yoga
yoga.
with the baby goats. Yeah. So, you know, I've done yoga in the past, and I'm not very good at it, because, you know, you have to breathe and be aware of what your body's doing and be in the moment. And I lie there, and the brain starts going, like, you know, thinking of all these things you want to do, you need to do, or you think about the past. I have to bring that up again in a sec. But I'm going to really, when I do goat yoga, like focus on being in the moment.
Well,
Apparently,
the
the
goats might
goats
help with
come
that.
up, but I think that they will, because apparently they like they'll jump up on your back. They'll come and snuggle up to you if you're, you know, lying down. I got an email from them yesterday that said, don't bring too many personal items because they're very curious, and don't bring anything with a straw, because I'm sure they like to chew on it or lick it or whatever. But mindfulness is also about not keep going back into your past and reliving like trauma or thinking about, you know, bad things that have happened to you, because once again, it uses that part of your brain, that emotion, fight or flight type thing, and you know, can raise your cortisol levels. I mean, you know, I don't pretend to know lots about this. This is just through we research that we've done.
So, did you have any
So,
tips on how people, we've been using the word mindfulness a lot, but what does that actually mean with regards to what does that look like? What can people do? How do we practice mindfulness? What do you do?
God,
Or
I'm
do you
like the
not?
last person to ask. Yeah. But what I am learning about it, because I'm actually learning about it, is just you being aware of your thoughts. That's the first thing that you have to do, is Being aware of your thoughts. I did write something down where it was about, and I can't find it. But anyway, so yeah, that's number one. Whatever you're doing, just think, am I actually focused on this? And it's going to be a practiced, learned, like a learned thing that you just have to, okay, I'm working on this blog post. I'm working on an email to somebody. I'm cooking dinner. Because I mean, my mind wanders constantly when I'm cooking. But to just be in that moment, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm chopping this, but I need to still do that. And I need to blah, 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 blah. You know, just if you've got a recipe, follow it. If it's a recipe, you know, follow it through
I
your
think it
head in
becomes
succession.
difficult when there's, particularly, for example, in a busy family environment, you never feel like you have that opportunity to really just
To do
focus on one
that.
thing at a time because there's always something or someone that needs something from you.
And some
So,
attention.
yeah, and even my dogs, it's quite rare that I'm actually able just to do one thing without them barking or needing something. And I'm like, right, coming, and I'm letting them out, or I'm getting them water, or, and so. This is, it sounds very, idealistic to say that just do one thing at a time. I think just try and do the best you can because, there will be, multiple things going on, but even
Interruptions.
they're going to happen. They are going to happen. But at least within your own mind and your own intention, you can just go, I'm not going to run through my list for the next hour. I'm not gonna try and do four things at once. If something crops up, I'm gonna have to give that some attention and do that. But you can at least control what you're thinking about and what you're intending to do, can't you? And that's gonna be 100 times better even than, than how it was before. So it's difficult. It's difficult when there's more than just you to think about and you've got commitments to other, something else. Even within a work environment, people that work in an office.
Excuse me.
I've worked for myself for quite a long time now, but I was in a busy, busy office before that. And, you've got constant emails pinging in, people speaking to you, phone calls going on. So that's where this multitasking all breeds from, isn't it? You're expected to be all things at all times, a wife, a mother, work, doing your own work, looking after your own pets, looking after the house. The list goes on and on. In fact, we were joking last night in. It was a joke. It was a bit like, well, why haven't you got this in? And you sort of went, I don't really, understand when you've actually, you're at work, you're doing the food shopping, you're looking after, literally you list it all off, running your own, and even running your own business. I know you and I joke about this, but running your own business, you're suddenly got 15 hats on. You're your own accountant, your own social media, your own marketing, you're actually taking all of business forward planning.
PA.
Exactly. The hats that you wear, every single person within their own life, whatever you're doing, is going to have multiple things. So it is tough, but I think the first thing to do is to try and quieten your own mind so that at least that bit means you feel a little bit more in control of each task that you're taking on.
It's also okay when you were talking about, work situations, turning the email off. That's one thing you could do for a while. But you can say to a coworker, that wants to just chit chat. It's different if you're working on a project together and they have a pressing question. But it's okay to say to anybody, even in your house, I'm going to go and do this for an hour. I don't want to be
Please don't
interrupted.
disturb me
Now,
unless
it's
it's an
harder to say it
emergency.
to little kids or a dog or whatever, but you can, if you've got a partner, you can say to them, can you watch the kids for just give me that time? But then on the flip side of this too, is how many times do we give somebody half our attention? I'm bad at doing this because, my husband gets home from work early because he starts so early and my day hasn't finished. And so he'll come in and I'll be still working.
Talking,
Like, hi, yeah, whatever. I'm doing this and I'm concentrating, or, I'm doing my Swedish lesson or whatever. But to also then, when, like I could turn around and go and spend 10 minutes with him and talk and then go back to what I'm doing. So that's that dedicated time. I think so many of us only give part of our attention to
Well, the
whether it
other
be the
thing
kids
that
or
massively
else.
impacts all of our lives is our phones. You know, the fact that
Yes.
you're never really ever doing one thing at any one time.
Nope.
And even when you're watching television, you've got the phone, you know, it's there, or maybe an
Right.
alert goes off, or, you know, we're watching something, you go, oh, I can't remember, you know, whatever it is, or who is that actor, or whatever. And the first thing you do, pick it up and start to Google it. But
Right.
then you're not in the
Not in
movie
the
or the
moment.
program
Yeah, because it
anymore.
doesn't matter. It
No.
might come to you anyway.
Or you're in the middle
You
of a
know, it doesn't.
conversation and a text message pings up and you pick it up and you answer. I'm getting
And
much better at
look.
that and putting it out of the way and thinking, you know what, unless if it's
Yeah.
really an emergency, they'll ring me. But, you know, I'll get back to that later. Sometimes it's to my detriment and then I forget because you get sort of sidetracked and go on to something else. But
Right.
you always come back to it. But I think our phones and social media are another massive impact on all of this. And I think
Oh, so bad.
having some, you know, we talked about in episodes last week about putting it to one side for a while, you know, that too much feeling of how long you
Yeah.
mindlessly scroll when you
Scrolling.
could be doing
Yeah.
something for your own, you know, future benefit by not sitting there for half an hour doing that. Sometimes you come across things which are of use and that are interesting. So I don't think it's totally a bad thing. I think it's just a choice thing, isn't it? Maybe you've allocated some time when you're prepared to give half an hour of your day to it. But all of a sudden, if you're not careful, that can be multiple hours a day because you've just accidentally dipped in and out of it for 10
Oh,
minutes.
especially starting to do that first thing in the morning. And see that there again, there's mindfulness, you know, because you're scrolling and you know you're supposed to be up and doing other things like maybe exercising. And so your brain's really not even focused on that because social media is like a, you know, bumming squirrel on crack or something
Well, as soon as you
anyway.
go dive into that rabbit hole, you're in it. And I don't know about everybody else, but when I sort of come out again, I'm like, oh, I'm in the room. You know, because I haven't been in that room. I've been so in my phone. Do you know what I mean? I'm so immersed
Yeah.
into what I'm watching. And then you sort of come back in, you suddenly go, oh, this is the real world. Right. Okay. What was I doing? Or what next? Or what should I be
Yeah.
doing? And
Or how the fuck did an hour just
it
pass?
just, so I
And I
think,
could have had that task done.
yeah.
Or, you know,
Or it's
yeah.
interrupting what you're trying to be doing. So resist that urge when you're in the middle of an hour of trying to do some work or whatever, then picking up your phone and just looking at that notification or whatever, just put it out the way. So I think one of the biggest interruptions, as well as, you know, as we said, family or
Oh,
work life, is definitely our
huge
phones and social media.
phone. I mean,
It's
you know, it's okay to put it on silent, put it in your handbag. Problem is, you know, all that when you have, and I don't know this with Android, but everything is connected.
Yeah, the
So
alerts
it's
still go off
on my
anyway.
computer, my iPad. I mean, but you can turn that off, right? On
Oh yeah,
your,
you can unconnect them if you want. Yeah.
But I think one of the absolute rudest things for me is when you're having a conversation with somebody and they do get a text message and you're talking and they pick up their phone and they friggin' start texting on it. And I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna stop talking and see if they even notice.
Well, it's
To me,
basically
that's like so
it devalues the conversation, doesn't it?
right, which is why we were saying that mindfulness can help with relationships. Of that whole being in the moment thing. Well, yeah, it's just so rude. And I try not to do that unless it's like, oh yeah, hang on, because it's about something you're talking about. I found this picture, it made me think of you. Let me find it. That's
Well,
a
if
whole
you're in that
different thing.
together, yeah. So if you're, you know,
Yeah.
that's a shared situation. But I saw a little snippet from Simon Sinek. I think that's how you say his name. He's got a really popular podcast, and he was talking about mobile phones or phones, and he was saying, you know, it has a role, a really disruptive role, in as far as even there's different the way people different handle it. So they'll put their phone down and it's not on silent and it's face up, and every time something happens on it, they pick it up and look. So there's that
Right.
person. There's the person that puts it on silent but still leaves it face up. So they've kind of think they've shown a bit of respect because it's on silent, but it's still there and
But
they
then they
look.
go like this.
And then there's the ones that put it face down but still on the table. And he went, you know what? That still shows that the most important thing around that table is the phone, because if it wasn't important, it wouldn't be on the table. And I thought it's
Right.
so true, isn't it? People think that they've done the right thing by turning it down and turning it off or whatever. But however, it's still there. And I If my son's not with me, which is a lot of the time and has been, you know,
Right.
he's been away, I find it hard to allow myself to have that on silent and put away completely because I still have in the back of my mind, what if he
That's
needs me?
understandable.
What
Oh,
if he
yeah.
needs me? But that he could be anywhere, like he could be just down the road, and I still have that what if he needs me thing. So I am
I
permanently,
think that's different with kids.
it probably is. However, or it's not even him. I just think, what if my family member needs it? I always have that
Right.
responsibility feeling, and that I need to get better at. Because I'm like, you know what? You have to put yourself, even if it's just 10 minutes, you know, into that whole environment of not being permanently on call to someone else, which is what's happening by
Right.
having your phone on the table, isn't it? And I think he did, you know, he had a long sort of piece about it. He was talking about it, but I thought it's true. You know, we are all kind of dictated to by that, and to be fully mindful in what we're doing, the likelihood is we haven't got our phone with it as well, because it's either run, unless you're reading your recipe off it, I guess, or something. But you know what I mean?
Right.
It's not really to be there to interrupt you all the time. It's supposed to be that it's
No.
serving you rather than ruling you.
And it does. And then when you get interrupted, you know, if you're on your computer and you see you've got a text message and you go and
Lose your train of
answer it,
thought. Yeah.
something, then you have to come back you know, it can wait unless it's like my car's broken down, help or something,
Yeah.
or I've been kidnapped or something like that. But you know, those chances are going to be quite slim, aren't they?
You'd like to think so,
Jesus.
wouldn't you?
But
So,
if you think of it in a way where you just every time that you're doing something, at least try and be aware, am I focused in doing this? Or am I thinking
yeah.
about the other tasks
Do you know what I
to
do, which
do?
might sound a bit weird? I sort of really become aware of my own body, because don't
Okay.
you think we can become almost oblivious to our body that's doing this thing? So whether it's drawing, whether it's reading, whether it's writing, typing, I've
You
tried
hold your
to,
body like you stress,
yeah, I try to be
that's
a bit
another
more
thing
aware,
too.
like even hold my own hand just for a moment so I can. There's something quite nice by putting your two palms together. You know, if you do that, do it now, go on, feel it. When you do that, feel how nice that feels. Don't you think you suddenly become aware of your own body a bit more? And that really
Right.
helps you with the mindfulness sort of moment, because you suddenly go, you know, I am here. I'm here doing this thing. This is not just a mindless act of a robot going through the process of cutting up some peppers or writing an email, or, you know, I'm the one in control of my body doing this. And I think that can be
Right.
helpful, is to become a bit more aware of your own body and the act that you're doing, and that the fact that you are in control of that, you're in control of your own thoughts, and be a little bit grateful. So maybe there's something, like you said, in making the coffee, I've made the coffee and now I'm going to enjoy the taste of it, even the way it looks in the cup, you know, because it can look really lovely, can't it? It's, you know, I'm not a barista or anything, but you can, you know, it's something to enjoy. So that's where the
It's a
gratitude comes
smell, it's a sensory
in. Yeah,
thing.
the taste as soon as you taste
Yeah, and
it.
just be grateful.
I want a
Just
coffee now.
be in the moment and know that when you're, I know I'm looking at my cup thinking, oh, now I feel like
I
another one,
know, I'm going to
but
make one.
not present like that.
So, should we set some
That's
goals, do you think, then?
yeah, for this, to do this. Oh,
Because I
definitely.
think this is something
Yeah.
that we can make a really good practice of, don't you
Yeah.
think?
Yeah.
So I think on the whole, the goal is to be aware of your thoughts, being in the moment, focusing on the task in hand. I
Task at
would
hand.
be present, be in the here and now, which is where I think that being
Yep.
aware of your own body thing comes into, and maybe try that, putting your hands together and feeling the palm of your hands. Like you said, not dwelling on yesterday or worrying about what's going to be coming. So I think you and I, let's choose one thing each that we're going to do to work on for our week. But it'd be really good for other people to have a think through what can they do, whether that's to practice a bit of mindfulness or make a few changes. But what's your goal going to
I'm
be?
going to definitely be aware of my thoughts. Am I focused?
Okay.
And try really hard to focus on the task at hand rather than focusing, or not focusing, rather than having my mind run wild on all the other things. It's just going
Yeah.
to be that, being
Okay.
in that present, in that moment. This is what I need to do right now.
Yep.
And then I'll move on to the next thing. Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
I'm going to set myself, it might even be 10 minutes only, but some dedicated time where I'm not doing anything else. So whether that's a try a bit of meditation, whether it's reading a book, whether it's doing a bit of doodling in my journal, whether it is journaling, but maybe not that because I don't find that completely relaxing sort of thing. But anyway, where my phone's not involved and maybe it is truly on silent and out of eye, you know, out
The
of my
room.
eyeship, yeah, out of the way, so that I am truly just in that moment. And I think that will give me such a benefit because it will just give me a little break, a little breathing space,
Little
maybe
blue
even
sky
just,
time.
yeah, maybe even just sit there outside in some sunshine, just
Oh,
listening to the
nice.
birds for 10 minutes and
In your
concentrating on
pretty
my own,
garden.
yeah, concentrating on my own breath, listening to the dogs bark because they bark at the pigeons, or whether I sit and read a book in my comfy chair in the front room for 10 minutes, 30 minutes if I can find it, you know, something. So that's my goal for this week, is to find that
I
dedicated
like that. That
time.
sounds nice. Next week's episode is called The Personalization Diet. So there's so much information. Sarah and I have talked about this ad nauseum together and sometimes on our podcast. There's so much information and conjecture about when, what, how to eat, what's optimal for health and weight loss. It's overwhelming. I'm sure a lot of people have felt this way. How do you make your diet work for you? Because one way of eating does not fit all. We're talking about crafting a diet suited to you that becomes part of your healthy lifestyle change and not about deprivation and unrealistic expectations. Join us for that one. If you head to livoniandsarah.com, you will find posts for past episodes, recipes, and helpful information. See the show notes below to connect with us on various podcast platforms and social media. Please follow and subscribe to us on YouTube. Thank you for being part of our community. Until next week, bye for now.
Bye.